please. Proverbs 19 in your Bible, and we'll pick through about 4 or 5, maybe 6 verses here tonight, and then we'll go. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 16. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul, but he that despiseth his ways shall die. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Let's stop right there and we'll pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to publicly profess Jesus Christ this afternoon. And we ask you to bless the efforts. I pray you'd encourage the men who went out. I thank you, Lord, for soldiers of Jesus Christ. They're willing to endure hardness and to do the tough job, and that's a blessing, Lord. And I pray now you'd give us a little rest, a little comfort, some help tonight, this afternoon, Lord, a great week this week. We ask you to strengthen our church. And most of all, may Jesus Christ be glorified in all that we say and do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 16, he that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul, but he that despiseth his ways shall die. Some strong wording there. Notice the way and the commandments of the Lord are life. We look at the Bible too negatively sometimes. God wrote those things for your good. It's like parents with children. We don't just make rules to be cruel. Like, you know, why can't I? Oh, because we just despise you and we want you to be miserable. That's why we make rules, right? The reason we tell you can't just go running across the street when you feel like it is because we just don't care about you. We're just horribly dictatorial. We're on like an authority trip and we just psychologically have issues because our parents made rules for us and we just want to torture you. That's it. That's all there is to it. Right, parents? Isn't that it? Of course not. You lay out rules and commandments for your kids to keep them safe, to take care of them, to show them your love. But for some reason, that human nature, you know, wet paint don't touch, now I want to touch that wall. Don't go downstairs. We just did the floors. Now all of a sudden, everybody wants to run downstairs, right? That's just human nature. God lays out these commandments. He that keepeth the commandments doeth what? Keepeth his own soul. God lays those things out for your psychological well-being. That's your soul, your psyche, the essence of who you are as a human being. Why does he lay them out there? To keep your soul. But he that despiseth his ways shall die. You think of homosexuality. Despising the ways of God, despising the ways of nature, despising what God says, so what does God do? God gives them AIDS. Why don't they teach that in schools? The only safety, you know, they teach safe, you know. The safety is obeying God's commandments. That's the safety. That's the only way. You want to be safe? Obey God. You're good. Disobey God? Then you can't beat God. You're not going to get around it. Period. The end. God gives them AIDS. God gives them HIV. Why? Well, because he told you, keep my commandments and you'll live. He that despiseth his ways shall die. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, please. Keep your finger here in Proverbs. We're coming back. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Men always want to prove God wrong. They always want to find a way around it, you know? Forget God. He doesn't know what he's talking about. God will get you, period. How can you preach a God like that? Well, it's in the Bible. He will get you. You despise his commandments. God is not mocked. That's what it says, doesn't it? Be not deceived. If you think God's going to sit there and let you mock him, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Wait a minute. I saw people mocking him this afternoon. Don't worry. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. They say some vile things about your Savior, mocking God, mocking you. They're going to reap that stuff. It's going to come back on them. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 1. Now these are the commandments. I don't like that word. That's because I'm a rebel. The statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commandeth to teach you. God said, here's some commandments, here's statutes, and here's judgments. And beyond that, you absolutely will teach these things. whoa, back it off, Lord. I mean, if you push like that, I'm not going to want to do it, right? Why is God being so dogmatic? Look at the verse. That ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and all his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's sons, thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Watch it. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of your fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Well, God lays out commandments and statutes and laws to bless you, to increase you, to help you. These things aren't a burden. God's not trying to sanctify us and help us and tell us to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing and be ye holy, for I am holy. God doesn't lay out all these rules and regulations for us in the Christian life. The Holy Spirit doesn't convict you of certain standards and things you should and shouldn't do. And that we know, and we've been taught in the New Testament, that some of that can vary from person to person, things that aren't spelled out in the Bible. You say, I just don't have the liberty to do that. Then obey the Lord. Why? Because he's trying to take care of you and keep you safe. He wants to bless you. I have a God who loves me so much, he wants to bless me. The problem is, I usually don't care enough about that blessing to obey what he says, because I know what I want to do, and I want to do it now, and nobody's going to tell me. And that's the problem. Go with me, if you would, to John chapter number 10. Keeping your finger in Proverbs 19 so we can get back there quickly. John chapter number 10. Look at verse 10. I love this verse. This is a great verse. John 10:10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. That is the devil's purpose in your life. Jesus says, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, those poor kids on the street. I feel sorry for them. Bunch of messed up, perverted, distorted, twisted. You look at them and I just shake my head like, you guys don't ever look around at each other and say, I'm letting this person teach me what my morality should and shouldn't be. Look at this person. Look at what a mess they are. Look at how miserable they are. You can't see the misery in their eyes. They think we're the prudes, you know, we're the squares. Man, I get more life in 1 week than they get in a whole year. I'm talking life. I'm talking just good, just happy, man. In 1 week than they get in all year. Serving Jesus Christ is the greatest thing you could possibly do with your life. It is not a drag. Being faithful to God is not a drag. And like the preacher said last week, if it becomes a drag, maybe you're trying to do something you weren't called to do. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Amen. Or you're out of the will of God. You're backslidden. Amen, that too. Ephesians chapter 6, please. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Just considering commandments and laws that God lays out for us. Ephesians chapter 6. This applies, the kids should be listening up right now. This applies starting at your earliest age. All right? Start, kids, all the children in here, this verse is talking directly to you. Ephesians 6:1. Children, that's God speaking to you, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, commandments that God gave Moses, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. How many of you kids want to have a good life? You want to be happy? You want to have fun? Yeah, the first thing you think is what? We're going to Disney World! You know, probably not. Your parents aren't that rich. You want to have fun, don't you? You want to have a good life? God promised you if you start right now, he's going to see it, and he's going to bless you for it. Ain't that something? I saw that when I was a little boy. I figured out when I was a little boy that I could lay up treasures in heaven after I was saved. Yeah, man. God will bless little kids for doing right. Literally getting treasures in heaven right now, no matter what your age is, for doing right. As long as you're saved. That's a blessing, man. Mom and dad make all these rules, tell you to go clean your room, tell you to help out, tell you to quit throwing a fit, don't backtalk, come the first time I call you. They're telling you all that stuff because they're trying to teach you some things that are going to pay off in the long run of your life. You're over their head, preacher. Trust me, they get more than you think. And if it's over their head, I'm going to keep drilling it into their head until it gets to them. Amen. Look, God wants to bless us. Back to Proverbs 19, please. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul. You ever see a miserable teenager? You know what they always are? Rebellious towards their parents and every authority in their life. Most miserable people you ever see are rebels who are rebellious towards authority and commandments. Don't like it. Chafe under it. Resent it. You are destroying your own soul. You're making yourself miserable for no good reason. Knock it off. Like Lester Roloff always said, if it rubs the fur the wrong way, turn the cat around. Get right. All right, so keep the commandments and you'll keep your soul, but despise them and you'll die. Verse 17. Now we're switching gears completely. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again? Now God goes from talking about keeping commandments, he starts to talk about money. One subject nobody wants to talk about. I think I got a little extra liberty today because we didn't even let anybody give last week. Amen. That was odd, wasn't it? Weirdest thing you ever seen in your life. That was the weirdest thing I've ever done in my ministry. It's weird enough not to pass a plate. You know, it's kind of, you'd get a little more money if it was right in front of them, preacher. They wouldn't forget. Like, yeah, I know. And then we snatch the box up altogether. That's just odd stuff. But listen, God does care about your money. I don't preach at you about your money. You know why? Because if God gets your heart, you'll give him your money. God loveth a cheerful giver. I sure want to give happily. I don't want to give because my preacher's pressuring me or because my tires are going to blow up or my furnace is going to go out and all that stuff. You think that stuff happens? I don't want to say either way, to be honest with you. I don't have a verse that tells you God's going to blow up your furnace if you don't give. I could give testimonies, and you talk to enough Christians, and they'll give you some testimonies, but you just keep that stuff between you and God. I don't want to say he wouldn't if he does, because some people are just stinking cheap. They got the money, but they don't love the Lord or the ministry or don't care enough to give. Too selfish. Other people give when they can't and probably shouldn't. That's between them and God. I don't even want to go there. But I will show you what the Bible says about it. Look at verse 17. He that hath pity on the poor. You notice a compassionate heart right there. Seeing somebody that's poor and having compassion on them. What happens when they give money to the poor? They're lending unto the Lord. Now how about that? Literally helping out somebody who's in need is giving to God. Now, that changes the whole perspective because, look, I can always come up with a list of reasons why I'm not going to help them. You know what I'm saying? I can always pick apart their life, find reasons why, just let them suffer, let them struggle through. I'm not going to help them. But if I thought about it as the Lord needing help, now that's a real test for where my heart's at. Yeah, Lord, I'll give to you. Well, then give to them. I care about them just like I care about you, even though they have faults. You know what I am getting tired of in myself and in everybody? I'm getting tired of this critical spirit stuff. I can always find fault with everybody. I'm the master of it. It's in my human nature. But God loves me even though God knows all my faults. Why don't my faults seem like a big deal? If I'm lazy, it's just because I'm wore out. If somebody else is lazy, it's just because they're a sluggard. You understand? I can easily see the faults in everybody else, but I have a real hard time seeing the faults in myself. So, like, forget all that. The guy's poor. Pick him apart or help him. The Bible says you're lending unto the Lord. Notice the rest of the verse. And that which he hath given him, he hath given, will he pay him again? Who's going to pay him back? The Lord's going to pay him back. And folks, it works. I'll prove it to you. Now, I got authority to say this. Go to 2 Corinthians 9. My preacher always used to say you can't out... When I say my preacher, I mean Brother Lentz. Always used to say you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. I remember the illustration he was preaching, and he said this. He would do like this. He'd say, man, I pull it out of this pocket and I give it, and I'm walking away and I put my hand back in this pocket, and I said, what in the world? What's that? And I give it, and I put my hand in the other pocket, and I said, what in the world? And I give it, and I go to reach for my gum, and I give it. And he said, God always gives back to me when I give. And that's been my personal experience. There's no doubt. And he doesn't. It's not like paydays on Friday. It's not like you can write a check on Monday and go, okay, I got 4 more days or 5 more days. And God's like, it ain't like that. God will test you sometimes. You don't give to get. That's a bad motive. You give to give. And you consider, once I give, it's gone. And I am now that much poorer. And that's my choice. I'm happy with that. I'm cheerful with that. That's how you give. That's the giving that pleases God. But the fact of the matter is that God always supplies back to you. He does. I'm not saying you give 100, he gives 1,000. You've never heard that preaching out of me. I'm not so foolish as to say stupid things like that. I mean, look, some people make themselves poor. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. But I mean, there's stories I could tell you. A particular businessman started out giving 10%, bumped it up to 20. He got to where he was giving 90%. And the guy had literally 90% of his income and keeping 10. There's stories that go on and on like that. As God prospered him, he gave more and more and more. And I mean, on and on the stories go. I mean, my kids were at a camp where a wealthy businessman donated the whole camp to a church and said, if you'll staff it, I'll pay for it. And just paid for the whole thing. It's a really nice camp. You know, that stuff happens. And you know what? There's all those stories are out there. But preachers get hung up on those stories trying to push the average Christian to give, and the average Christian working a normal job, making, you know, middle class income or lower middle class income, then goes and gives thinking God's going to make them rich if they give, and God never does. It's one thing for a multimillionaire businessman to start, you know, dropping down 25, 30% once he's got everything paid off. And let's just be honest, numbers are numbers. It's one thing for a guy like that. It's another thing for you and I to cut a 10%. But God has never, never let his people down. You give to God, he'll take care of you. And honestly, you know, I don't look at the registry. I've never looked. But Rob can tell you, I've never looked to see who gives what. I don't count. I don't want to know who gives what. You know why? I can't stand a cheapskate. And I just don't even want that in my head. Amen? Oh, preacher, I love our church. I'd be like, yeah, you do not. Where treasures are, heart be also. I got Bible, man. I'll just hammer you the Bible. I'm in the Bible all the time. I live in the Bible. I'll give you a Bible verse for everything, man. You know, take off his head. You know, I mean, it's there. There's something there somewhere. God will give me a verse, amen, or the devil one. They'll be quoting scripture at me. I don't want to know. I'm not after your money. I'm after your heart. I think you know that. But money's in the Bible. And we're there tonight. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Every man, according as he hath purposed in his heart. Well, what happened to 10%, preacher? Well, I don't know. Go back to the Old Testament. Look, these preachers are preaching 10% all the time. Man, I'm sorry, but they need to get in their Bible just a little bit more. I say that respectfully, really. Study a little bit more. When you start going back in the Old Testament and you add up how much God was saying when he said the percentage of this, it was coming out to more like, I did the math a while back, more like 20-something percent or more, 30%, something like that. It was way higher than 10%. Oops. Preachers are all the time preaching 10%. You know what preachers should preach? The Bible to the church. Your doctrine to you. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Give what you want to give. And as you love the Lord and grow in the Lord, you'll give more. You'll give what the Holy Spirit tells you to give. I've heard of stories where, and this is rare, I've heard of stories where preachers have advised people who are broke, lost their job, trying to keep, you know, make ends meet, and they're trying to be a good Christian, and they're in church and they're giving anyways. And he said, stop. God's going to kill me. You can catch up with the Lord later. Feed your family. Well, most fundamental Baptist preachers are just having an absolute heart attack and tell everybody Reagan's a heretic. If they haven't heard it already, they're hearing it now. I mean, thank God nobody listens. Praise the Lord. Yeah, really, praise the Lord. But listen, that's good pastoring. How should I give? As you purpose in your heart to give. Not grudgingly. Not grudgingly. Not, I better give my 10% because God's going to blow up my engine if I don't. Man, some people, I had a heart attack last week when I took up the box. Like, that was good to kick your tradition in the teeth. Can I still be saved and right with God? You just gave all week. It's not like you really had a week off. We took up an offering Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And Sunday, I decided, you know what? The church accounts are okay. Put the box in the office. Amen. It's not tradition. Don't give that way. Give from a heart as God wants you to give. I'm telling you, man, it's like shocking how much you'll wind up giving. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able, verse 8, is God able? You got an able God. To make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. In context, giving. You know what giving is? It's a good work. It's one of the works a Christian does. And God says he's able to take care of you so you can keep giving. Look back at verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So how much do you want to reap? That's how much you sow. I've made myself poorer than I've had to in the past. But God's always taking care of me. And I'm not even going to start launching into testimonies and stuff like that, which we could do. But that's personal. That's what God did for me. And you go, oh, but God did that for pastors, so God's going to do it for me. Maybe he won't. That's not right, is it, for me to tell you what God did for me and then expect you to do the same thing if God's not asking you to do it? And you just do it because God did it for somebody else and you fall flat on your face because God didn't ask you to do it. The point is what? The point is the heart. The point is give the way God would have you to give. And it'll all come out right in the wash. Obey the Lord. If this bugs you, then I need to preach on it more. Not kidding. If you're right with God about it, you ain't going to get mad. Why is he talking about money? The Bible does. I don't talk about it every week. If I talked about it every week, I'd have an issue, right? What's wrong with the preacher? I guess he's stressed over the bills. You know? But if that bugs you, then something's wrong with you, not me. This is the book. Amen. You're a cheapskate. Go back, so smile and pretend like, you know, I'm going to be like, oh, I know who the cheap ones are. They were mad. Yeah, I'm in a mood to fight today, man. They were after us on the street, and we just bring it back to them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter number 19. We'll move on. I remember my dad telling me as a little boy when he gave me my allowance, he'd say, now 10% of this at least goes to God. He gave me that verse, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down. I can see him doing it, shaking together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Stuck with me, man. I learned as a little boy, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I don't know. It's something my dad taught me, and I thank God for it. It's a blessing. I was dying one time. I ate one of those. You guys remember those Neckos? Those candies? I was eating one of those things that got stuck in my throat. My parent, my dad ran into this. There's a little bakery right there. We were in, I think, Northville or Livonia. He ran into a little bakery in there, and he grabbed some piece of bread and water, something to me to eat, the water to try to wash it down, something to eat to push it down. And I was hurting so bad. I was pinching that bread, kind of shredding it up. You know, I had already drunk the water. And my little sister's looking at me. She's like, Mike, if you're not going to eat that, I'll take it. It's like, don't wreck the bread, man. I remember giving her my bread. You know, my mom's like, he's dying, and you're asking him for his bread, and you're giving it to her, you know. It's a blessing, man. It's a blessing sometimes to be a blessing. People, you know, you give, people accuse you of all kinds of stuff, ulterior motives and all that stuff. So just when you give, forget about it. Don't brag about it. Don't tell anybody about it. Just give like God wants you to give, and you will have the joy of giving simply like God asked you to give. God blesses you in your spirit, in your heart. All right, let's move on. Proverbs chapter 19. I want to get to this next verse, and then we'll be done with this one. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Now we're going to venture into waters that are very unpopular in this day and age. But it's Bible. The reason this stuff is unpopular is because we've come into a generation that is so unscriptural and anti-God that we have lost our minds, and therefore we've lost our children. Chasten thy son while there is hope. We're talking about biblical discipline. Look at Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 30. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. Now, here he's talking about judgment they would pass in that day, where when somebody commits a crime, they put stripes on them, right? And he's talking about the blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. There's an infection, that thing gets blue, and the body's working real hard to clean that thing up. It cleanseth away the evil. So do stripes the inward parts of the belly. Back in this day, the discipline, the judgment committed, you know, passed on somebody for a crime was much more severe than the garbage you see nowadays. Nowadays, what do you have? Habitual offenders. Habitual offenders. Why? Because, you know, you commit a crime, you get locked up in a jail, you get to cry, complain, you get your way, you get TV, you get card games, you get basketball, you get weights, you know, you get a nice comfy bed to sleep on, you get all the meals you want, you get all the showers you want. I mean, you really just got it absolutely made. They want, you know, walk around, like, what's up, man? You know, hanging out with the boys. It isn't like solitary confinement on a concrete bed. You won't ever rape anybody's daughter again. You're staying there the rest of your life. Yeah, your buddies would be like, I don't think I'm going there. But we live in a day and age where consequences for your actions are not meted out. And it starts at a very early age with the children. When children don't learn to obey and respect authority at a young age, they don't grow up respecting authority. We got a bunch of good kids in this church. We really do. These are good kids. I mean, if you don't think these are good kids, go walk around the mall. Amen. Or Walmart or anywhere else where a bunch of kids gather and you see the way kids behave nowadays. It is obscene. The way they talk to their parents, the way they treat their parents, it's shocking. What's going to happen to those kids when they're the ones running society? I'll tell you what will happen. Cops will get sniped en masse. For no good reason, because these irrational idiots, sorry, don't have a stinking clue about life. They can't do math. They can't do simple math because they didn't have a dad who would whoop their hind end. He says, chasten thy son while there is time. Look at Revelation chapter 3. I'm going to make the argument to you that if you don't discipline your children, you don't love them. You don't love them. Yes, I do. I just can't stand to see him cry. You love yourself and your strange emotional attachment with your little prodigy. You don't love that child. If you loved that child, you would say, I will do what's best for that child so that child learns its lesson now when they're safe. They're not going to be severely harmed. No harm is going to come to that child. They might be a little bit uncomfortable or a little bit upset or feel like, you're the meanest parent in the world. I can't believe you made me go to bed 2 hours early. Oh, shut up. Yeah? I can't watch TV for a month. You're so terrible. Cry. Breaking my heart. Let them feel that pain. Why? Because it's not hurting them. It's not doing them damage. To them, it's the end of the world. To you, you know it's not doing them damage. You're planting seeds in that child that is going to pay off the rest of their life as adults. Revelation chapter 3, look at verse 19. As many as I love. Look, I haven't heard anybody say any of that stuff. So we're gonna just like drop the guard and relax tonight. I'm trying to help, not trying to hurt. And my wife and I don't think within a million light years that we are perfect parents within a million light years thereof. You understand that? Okay? We're looking at Bible and stuff we can all work on. So I mean, we all have like, I think you're great parents. I think you're doing a great job. But let's get a little more help. Let's get a little tune-up tonight as parents. Amen? Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. What's the proper response? Be zealous, therefore, and repent. How long do I keep disciplining them? Till they crack. If the child, look, you can break the child's will without breaking the child's spirit. You should never break a child's spirit. That's abuse. You win. How many do I win? Every single standoff, you win. Every one. Not hit and miss. Not pick which ones you're going to win and which ones you're going to let go because you're not feeling good. You win every single standoff because that's proof you love them. Look at another verse, Hebrews chapter 12. I'll prove to you that parents' love for their children is selfish. It's a selfish love. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse number 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Look down at verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Fathers after the flesh corrected us, and what did we do? We gave them reverence. How do fathers after the flesh correct you? For their own pleasure. That's how human fathers correct. In other words, I'm going to discipline them about the stuff that drives me crazy, not principle. We ought to discipline our children based on principle, whether it bugs us or not. It always happens. It's inevitable. One of the kids will get one of the parents somehow emotionally. That particular kid is my weakness. Oh, he looks so much like his dad. Or, you know, I hate him. He looks like his dad. He's my least favorite. Whatever the case is. But there's also always different things, right? About different kids that'll get one of the parents. And so particular behavior in that kid won't bother you as much. But behavior in the next kid, that bothers you. So you chase in that kid more because that kid bothers you. But for whatever reason, this kid, they bat their eyes. I got one that she's the master of crying on demand. I don't know if it's like the movies on demand generation or the Netflix generation, but she literally can do this. And after about three blinks squinted in with the nose scrunched, the tears just start to roll. She's the master. Now, I talk tough, but come on, man. There's a little girl standing there that's just and wiggling the nose like a little bunny rabbit. And you're just like, oh, it's okay. Don't ever stab somebody again with a steak knife. I know you didn't mean it, but, you know, please don't ever again do that to the dog. Now he has one less ear, and he's always going to have one less ear. You understand what I'm saying? We chasten them a lot of times for our pleasure. We allow them, back in Proverbs chapter 19, to manipulate us. Children are the masters of manipulation. Let me say that again. That was very profound. Children are the masters of manipulation. They will read your body language, the tone in your voice, the look in your eyes, and they will know how far they can push you. They will know exactly what to do when to get around it. They're the masters. So God said, let not thy soul spare for his crying. You know what happens to loving parents who love children selfishly, but the only way they humanly know to love? Because you're human beings, right? So you have the spirit of a human, right? You're looking at me like, yeah, it's creepy. Okay, so we're human. So there's a natural affection there toward our children and a natural human love that's not, when I say you don't love them, you love yourself, I'm saying that you love them carnally. You love them, but it's not spiritual love. It's not true love. It's a carnal love, and that's okay. God put that in you. That's that mothering, nurturing spirit. That's that fatherly, protector, provider thing. God, that's all good stuff. It should be there. It shouldn't be all discipline, because you will have very angry and manipulative and rebellious children. That all should be there. But we have to balance that with spiritual love. That way that they have of being able to manipulate us. That way they have of beginning to weep and wail. And you're like, oh my goodness. Oh, don't you? My parents used to say, this hurts me more than it hurts you. That was a lie. I know because it does hurt me more than it hurts them. I actually cry sometimes. My dad never cried. My mom got joy out of it. You know, she was like, I'll come back for more. You know what I mean? It's like, whoa. You as a good parent when you love your children. See, that's my memory of it, but that's not reality, I'm sure. As a parent, when you love your children, what happens? Your soul, let not thy, see it? That's your psyche. That's your intellect, your emotions, and your will. Spare for their crying. Because when your baby starts crying, what is your natural response? You ever notice that children come forth from the womb speaking lies? You ever notice that? You're like, there's nothing wrong with this baby. It's dry. You're doing the burp thing and the rub the back thing. There's no gas. There's no burps. They're screaming. He's like, oh no, oh no. The child swallowed broken glass. There's no doubt about it. What did her sisters give her? Oh no, she's going to die. You pick her up. She's cooing and cawing. And, oh, you little liar. You weren't saying, please pick me up. You were saying, get in here, pick me up now. And the natural parent spirit does what? Spares for the crying. You guys, this is normal stuff. But what we don't realize is even at an early age, we train those children as to who's in charge. The child or the parent. Always check, okay? Something could be wrong. Once you're confirmed and you've prayed and you know that child and you realize they're throwing a fit, they can lay there and scream until they're dry heaving and they wore them. You know what? They have the best, longest naps and restful, peaceful sleep when they scream a fit to sleep. It's amazing. I know of some people that are so crazy, they swat infants. That's silly. They don't know what you're spanking them for. But they're like a dog. Sorry for a crude analogy. It's training. They're training you or you're training them. Right from the beginning. See, don't let your soul spare for their crying. So, some of my daughters in particular, my older ones, you know, praise the Lord, we're getting past that phase. But you know, they see they're in trouble. And you walk into the room. I do this, go to your room and wait thing. I make sure that I'm fully under control and calm down. And I go in there and I, you know, give the discipline I need to give. They see me walk into the room. It's like, like, I haven't even touched the kid. The neighbors think something crazy is happening in here. What are you doing? I didn't touch you. I'm innocent. Why? Because you know what they know about you? They know you love them. And when you go, okay, but don't do it again, you know what they do? I got out of that one. And they'll do it again because they're human. He said, don't let your soul spare for their crying. You administer just judgment. You know what the devil will do in your head? He'll say, well, you've done some things and God never got you for them. And you'll go, oh, yeah, I have. And God didn't get me for him. And I want to show mercy like God showed mercy. And that was the devil. That was the devil just manipulated you. You realize if police officers said, I'm not gonna ever arrest anybody or pull anybody over for anything that I'm guilty of. No police officer would ever pull anybody over for speeding. Because don't you think at some point or another they had an old car and the speedometer might have been off by a mile an hour? That ain't justice. That ain't judgment. It ain't right. The devil manipulates people like that. And he'll manipulate you into messing your kids up. Why? By not obeying what God said. I want to close with this last observation. Notice what he says right here. While they're is hope. While there is hope. I've always said something that I know is true. Kids are getting older really fast. You know, our oldest just went off for a week at camp. It's our first time. It's I was just elated. Mom was an emotional mess. No, I'm just kidding. It was rough, man. She's our go-to at this point, you know. It changed everything. Grace was, she was an emotional wreck. I was like, it's too quiet around here. I need Anna, you know. I actually have to get up and go make the coffee, I guess. I can't just scream, Anna, make a pot of coffee! You know, I mean, it's a bummer, man. Anna, find out what your sisters are doing, you know. We didn't know how much we rely on her until she was gone. Point being, 10 years. My oldest is 22. If she loves the Lord and does right and is mature enough, she could be married. 10 years. My youngest is 16. And she's driving herself to school. Glory to God, they're driving themselves to school. Amen. Go. I got 10 years, 14 years. All my kids will be in their 20s and up. That is not very much time. It's nothing. I mean, 14 years from now, my kids are all in their 20s. I only have them for a little while. So focus on them. While there is hope. You realize that by the time a kid gets to be 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, if the parents haven't controlled their fits, made them obey, come the first time you're called, do what you're told because you're told it. If you haven't got a hold of them by then, it's on. It's on. Let me just say, I'm not going to say there's no hope at all, but I'm going to say it's on. You're going to have to put in double and triple the work, and now you've gone through years of training yourself the wrong way, getting used to giving up and letting it go, and gone through years of training them the wrong way, and chances are real good you've sowed some seeds in that child's character, in that child's development, that you may never be able to get out of them. That's scary stuff, isn't it? God says, chasten your son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Don't let them manipulate you in your human nature and in your psyche. Do what you need to do the way you need to do it. I'll never forget this. One of our daughters, I think I could say it. I don't want to embarrass her, but Sophia, she won't care. She was really little, so this is not a reflection on her right now. They're old enough to be embarrassed and care, you know. But man, we were living in Toledo, and she took tough to a whole new level. I was 18 months old, me personally. I was 18 months old the first time my dad and I had a big standoff. He said, give Daddy the spoon. And I took the spoon and I went like that. I was just kind of toddling around, you know, waddling. I was running around, but I wasn't walking good enough to give Daddy the spoon. They didn't want me running around the house with the spoon. I could get hurt. We went for 30 minutes. He bent me over his knee, swat, 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 stood me up, give Daddy the spoon. I was... And when I handed him the spoon, I did this, and I made him pry it out of my fingers. My parents still tell that story. Like, oh, Michael is just a piece of work. I don't know what happened, but Sophia was me on drugs. I remember I came in from work one day. I walked into the kitchen, and she had dropped her little sippy cup. And I said, put that in the sink. And she, or something like that. Pick that up. Pick that up. She would not pick it up. I sat my briefcase down. I sat down on the floor. My wife fed me dinner, took my dinner back, washed the dishes, cleaned up the table. We still sat there. Do you remember how long I sat there? She put the other one to bed. And me and her were still going at it because she was going to do what I said. Her will had to break. And I've slipped since then. I got to get back on it. I'm serious. I'm not kidding now. I've slipped since then. But I thank God for that. We called Pastor Veach crying. Me and Grace crying. I've told you the stories. We were starting a church. We're in a living room. Kids in the back kicking holes in the wall, man. She had to take her out to the car. Some of you get embarrassed when your kids are too fidgety. I'm telling you, we got good kids in our church. Yeah, that's embarrassing. You're trying to sit in the living room and preach, and you're the pastor. It's like, well, the pastor's supposed to have bishops. She's supposed to have his house in order. We're praying that God will show you. We had some in our church that were like that. We're praying that God will show you, young man. You're full of potential. Someday you'll be as good as me. And I'm like, oh, Lord, help me not to kill her. Right? It's brutal. It's not easy. But it pays off. And you can't let them win. You have to be more strong-willed than they are. Because you hate them? No, it circles back to verse 16. So they can have a good life. You either teach them now or the cops will teach them later. Or their employer will teach them later. And you know who they're going to call? Dad. And you're like, man, we're just at a point where we can go out to dinner. We're just at a point where we are fixing to buy a nice new car that we'd never get to buy before. We're just at a point where we want, now I got to help you out. I got to bail you out. I got to pay your rent. And you set a pattern in your life you started when they were little. And what do? Your soul spares for their crying and you write them a check again. Forget it, man. Sorry, I can't right now. Me and Mommy are going to Andiamo's for the sixth time this week. Bye. Right? So, get them while you can get them. And we'll see what God will do from there. They're going to make their own choices. But I want to know that I wasn't a lazy dad. And Proverbs tells us about it. All right, let's go ahead and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. We ask you to help us, Father. We need your help. Help us to keep your commandments. Help us to learn to give like you'd have us to give. Help us with our families, with our children. Lord, help us to have the character we need to have as parents to be able to do our jobs and the balance. We need you. We need your wisdom and your direction. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.